Phil Henry Show, and our number is 1-800-449-8686. And an irate woman allegedly entered the cockpit of an America West jetliner in flight and struck the co-pilot. She was arrested on Monday. Flight 2186, an Airbus A320 bound for Phoenix from New York, with 128 passengers and five crew members, was diverted to Albuquerque because of the disturbance, FBI supervising agent Doug Belden said. Her name's Denise Laverne Brown of New York. She was arrested about 5 p.m. Apparently, she refused to return to her seat, failed to obey the orders. The flight personnel became angry, went into the cockpit, and struck the co-pilot. The passenger, according to Belden, was obviously under the influence of alcohol. Do you notice that fewer and fewer people are holding their liquor these days? More and more people just can't take a drink anymore? Am I the only one, or we got more and more lightweights out there taking a drink? I guess with the increase in population, there's going to be a rise in alcoholics. And, you know, there's just always going to be a certain percentage of the population that is alcohol sensitive. And since we have more of everything, because we have more people, I guess we've got more drunks. America West spokeswoman Patty Nowak said she couldn't release details, declined to say what triggered the incident. Last Thursday, a 39-year-old man broke into an Alaska Airlines cockpit, grappled with the co-pilot. An FBI and Federal Aviation Administration reported the man apparently tried to seize control of the throttle and the fuel controls near Monterey. He was arrested when the plane landed in San Francisco after the flight from Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. It's another Puerto Vallarta. Is this the same guy that took his shirt off and ran up and down the aisle with his finger pointing at people? And then there's the guy, the class act, the all-time record breaker, the guy that took a dump on the drink cart. You remember that one, don't you? There was a time when people could take a drink. People can't do it anymore. We got more drunks, alkies. Kids drinking, can't handle a drink. Everybody. Lightweights. I think they ought to stop serving booze on these airplanes, you want my honest opinion. I don't care if Sadie's afraid of flying. You want it? You're afraid of flying, Jack? Walk. What you do, you ought to take those metal trays? You give everybody a metal tray. And if the guy next to you starts crying and screaming about flying, you just take a quick whack right against his face with a metal tray and you knock him out for the rest of the flight. How's that feel? God damn, I'm afraid of flying, man. I think I got, you know, and I got to have a drink. I don't know if I can take it. And you take that metal tray, just right on that guy's kisser. Knock him flat out. Art Griego is with us. Art's a pilot. And Art, tell everybody exactly what it is that you are flying, I know, commercially.
Scott Phil, I fly commercially for Calico Farms in Tracy, California. And I do dusting of some 10,000 acres of farmland. And you're describing a problem that pilots have long had, I think. I don't think it's anything new, that people are just not being handling the rigors of air travel anymore like they used to.
Is it all alcohol-related?
Yeah, I think it is. And I think that it goes back a long time, though, Phil. I don't think this is anything recent.
Have you flown commercial jets?
No, I don't fly commercial jets. I fly out of Calico. In other words, I fly...
So you're flying prop planes.
I fly prop planes commercially for most of the industrial farmers up here in the San Joaquin Valley.
Well, what's the answer? I mean, how dare anybody go into the... I don't know. I like to think that if I had been sitting anywhere near first class, I saw this woman trying to get into the cockpit. I'd like to think that I'm a good enough citizen that I would take her and open up one of those doors and throw her to her death. I'd like to think I'm that good of a citizen.
Well, Phil, you can't open a pressurized cabin at that elevation. But I do have some suggestions.
Okay, what?
Well, I think that we should begin to... notice people who are obviously intoxicated, and I think we ought to begin to start cut off some of these people who drink too much. I also feel the time has come to start breathalyzing a lot of passengers, utilizing breathalyzer. You can do urine testing or what have you, but I think the time is well past that we need to begin to test these passengers for alcohol before they board the airplane. I think that pilots obviously are in need of all of their concentration. And I was talking about this. As a matter of fact, Phil, I don't know if you know the name D.B. Cooper.
Yeah, I know the name D.B. Cooper. He's famous.
Right. And I ran into D.B., and I can't say where because of his...
That was the guy that jumped out of the airplane in Washington, wasn't it?
You bet. And took about $1 million in cash with him.
And you talked to him?
Oh, yeah.
Well, where does he live?
He lives in California now.
I always thought that D.B. Cooper had fallen to, that they never found out where he was.
Oh, no. He's obviously a guy that likes to keep undercover a little bit, but D.B. Cooper is alive and well, lives in the state of California. I don't want to tell you where.
Is D.B. Cooper his real name?
No, it is not.
Okay, so is he still hiding out from the authorities?
Well, I think that it's more or less he just doesn't want the notoriety. There's a lot of people who want to, write about him and meet him and probably give him the kind of notoriety he doesn't. He's always been a very private man, but I don't want to go too far into it. The reason why I mentioned his name is he was telling me about the afternoon that his little escapade took place, and he was about 5,000 feet over the state of Washington, and when he hijacked that plane. And
well, a lot of people don't know who D.B. Cooper is. Can I bring him up to speed?
Sure, go ahead.
D.B. Cooper is a guy who hijacked an airliner, I don't know out of what city, and demanded $1 million in cash. And I guess he had a weapon. Is that right, Art?
I'm not sure, Phil.
Well, in any event, the plane landed. He let the passengers off, but he kept the pilot as a hostage and the co-pilot and the flight crew as a hostage. And he ordered the ground personnel to put $1 million in cash on board the plane and a parachute. And as soon as they got out over the wilderness, I believe either the state of Washington or Oregon, he opened the back door, the aft doors of the jet, and with the parachute on, leapt out with $1 million in cash.
That is correct. That was over southern Washington State, Phil, when it took place.
What year was that?
That was 1971.
And he's alive.
He is alive, and
you spoke with him.
Yes, sir, I did. He's doing quite well, and I can tell you that the $1 million that was absconded with that day was put to some pretty good use because he's actually started several businesses since then, employs quite a number of people, and has turned into quite a good citizen. But he's a guy that obviously doesn't want a lot of people to know where he is.
And all right, so what were you talking with him about? You were talking with him about the pilots, the passengers?
Well, he was telling me that he never would have been able to hijack that plane were it not for the fact that the passengers were unruly that day, and the pilot was distracted by a particularly distraught woman, and he was able to take advantage of the confusion and commence with the hijacking. He had a weapon, and he ordered the pilot back into the cockpit, and I can tell you he shut that woman up, at least as he told me, Phil, he shut that woman up pretty good. But and that was because of the fact that the pilot's concentration was not at its optimum. And that's what D.B. was telling me.
Now, D.B. Cooper, so you've met this guy.
Yeah, he's flown with me. And
well, what kind of a guy is he?
He's got a good sense of humor, I think, Phil. He's flown with me a couple of times. In fact, he's made a couple of jokes. He's opened the plane of the door of the plane and said, "Hey, Art, look at me. I got money. I'm going to, making jokes about it." He's had a bag. He's a very good client. And
he's a client of yours?
He has hired me to do some things.
Is he a farmer?
No, sir. No, he's not. But
All right. Hold the line, because I hadn't heard the name D.B. Cooper in literally months, it must have been, in years, perhaps. And I always thought that he had died.
No, he's doing well. I don't ask a lot of questions of the people that I take up with me sometimes because I do some commercial shuttle jumping. But he was an interesting guy, and that's what D.B. told me.
So D.B. Cooper got the drop on this pilot those many years ago because the passengers...
The passengers acting up, and so they need to be breathalyzed. And they need to be given, some kind of alcohol test so that they don't start distracting.
I'm talking with Art Griego. Art flies commercially, and we've had so many bizarre things happening in the skies over America. A woman just walked into an America West cockpit the other day and slugged the co-pilot. Had another guy who tried to get into the cockpit of a Alaska Airlines jet from Puerto Vallarta, and another guy was running up and down the aisle pointing his finger at people. And apparently passengers are just, the alcohol are consuming, some people are consuming in flight, is getting to them a little bit. And Art, it is your opinion that the people ought to be breathalyzed or drug tested or
no? I just think anybody who's had any liquor on their breath is detected by the personnel. I think ought to be breathalyzed, and that's an easy thing to do, Phil. It's a very easy little device that you have people blow into this.
But the other thing that was fascinating to me is that you've been talking to D.B. Cooper, and I always thought that he died.
Well, I'm sure DB wanted people to think that, okay?
Well, I imagine it with $1 million.
Right. But, no, he just had some interesting stories to tell me about.
How often do you see him?
DB Cooper?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know, probably once, twice a month. Because I fly him into a couple of cities in California. But I'm of the opinion, and DB is of the opinion, that bars, cut customers off when they get too drunk. Why not airlines? So flying under the influence, FUI, should be something that and D.B. Cooper agrees with me, should be something that's against the law.
And D.B. Cooper agrees with you?
Yeah, you seem surprised.
I thought he was dead. And what do you mean, FUI?
Flying under the influence.
All right. But that's for passengers. Now, the pilots, it's illegal.
Oh, yeah, for passengers as well. A pilot can get cited for FUI. No doubt about it, but we should cite passengers, too.
Okay, Art, hold on. Art Griego with us here. He's talking that we ought to breathalyze airline passengers because the fact is too many of them are just getting too juiced. They're not handling it, man. They're on the airplane running around. They're punching out the pilot. What is up with all of that? And, oh, yeah, by the way, he knows D.B. Cooper. You know who that guy is, Mike? The guy jumped out of an airplane back in 1971 with $1 million worth of cash. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show. That happened
because he's an excellent parachuter.
Back in the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686 with Art Griego. You're telling me Art Griego is a pilot from Tracy, California. He knew, or you know, DB Cooper.
Yes, I do.
And DB Cooper's the guy who hijacked an airplane and demanded $1 million and a parachute and flew in this jet, commercial jet. I guess the pilot didn't know when he was going to jump, but he jumped out of the plane with $1 million and a parachute.
Yeah, I mean, what DB told me was...
When you say DB told you, how long have you known him?
I met DB Cooper probably about 7 years ago in San Diego. And he was living there at that time. He doesn't live there anymore.
But he still lives in California.
Off and on, yeah. And I ran into him at we were doing at that time some commercial hops from San Diego up to Santa Barbara and Santa Barbara to San Luis Obispo, and he was a passenger of mine. And he introduced himself, and I recognized him from the newspaper pictures. And
well, did he ever say how it was that he was able to jump out of a jetliner?
Well,
I mean, this is a jetliner goes, what, 500 miles an hour at about what elevation were they at?
About 20,000 feet.
20,000 feet, 500 miles an hour. How was he able to do it?
Well, you have to understand something, Phil. Probably a lot of people don't know. He's an excellent, excellent parachuter. DB had oxygen with him because they loaded not only the chute but the oxygen on the plane.
And he opened up the rear, the aft door of the plane going 500 miles an hour.
That's correct, yeah.
Then what?
Well, he opened it up. And he jumped out. I mean, he's an excellent parachuter. Most people cannot parachute from a plane going 500 miles an hour. DB was able to do that, and he did it successfully. And because of the thin air at 20,000 feet, he had that oxygen, and he had a space helmet on because that would keep him from the... There's a lack of pressure up there, so you have to have something that is going to protect your body as well as enable you to breathe.
Understood.
So he had not only a parachute, but he had a space helmet and a spacesuit that he could pressurize and then go into his free fall. Now, the free fall takes about, at 20,000 feet, it's about a 20-minute free fall.
Well, how long was he parachute? I mean, how long does it take from 20,000 feet to hit the ground?
He was in the air probably about, I don't know, an hour and a half, 2 hours.
2 hours?
Yes, sir. Because you blow the chute after about 20 minutes. You're free falling.
How do you know when to pull the cord at that elevation? So you're jumping out of a plane at 20,000 feet. How do you know when to pull the cord?
Well, basically, most chutists just count it out. 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, 1,004. And
you're counting up to 20 minutes that way?
Yes, sir.
1,001, 1,002, 1,003, 1,004, until you get all the way to 20 minutes.
And then you pull. You pull the ripcord. And what DB did...
So let me just, I'm sorry, I find this fascinating, because I always found the story of D.B. Cooper to be very, very interesting.
Well, it really isn't what I called to talk about, though, Phil.
No, I know, but I mean, you're telling me that D.B. Cooper jumped out of an airplane at 20,000 feet, going 500 miles an hour, was in a 20-minute free fall, counting 1,001, 1,002.
That's correct.
And then pulled the ripcord, and the chute opened, and it took him 2 hours to get to the Earth.
That is correct, yes, sir. At least that's what DB told me.
Now, where did he land?
He landed in a very heavily forested area of southern Washington. I don't know specifically where, but apparently his chute got hung up in some trees. He lost some of the money because he had these in these plastic trash bags.
And he was just holding the bags going down?
I'm sorry?
He was holding onto the trash bags?
Yes, he was. And he was holding onto the trash bags and apparently got hung up in some trees. The bag ripped. I said he think he lost a few dollars.
Does he know how much he lost?
Oh, he had about $1 million that they gave him. He lost maybe a few thousand. It wasn't very significant. And that was the money that the FBI found. So the FBI did find some money, and that was what they found. So he was hung up in a tree, and I had to spend the night there.
And his chute was hung up in the tree?
His chute was hung up in the tree, and he had to spend the night. And in the morning... using a knife, he was able to slowly cut himself down and crawl down the side of the tree. But he was a long way away from civilization, and it was fortunate for him that there was a pack of bears that were living in a cave near where his chute came down, near where he came down. And DB was able to make gestures toward these bears, and the bears took him in. And shared with him some of their food, some grubs and berries and honey that they had for the night. And he was a little bit wounded, too. He had tied himself up in the tree, so the bears licked his wounds and were able to heal him. But DB often says if it wasn't for that family of bears, and there were three of them, I think he said, that he would have been in big trouble. Hello.
Yeah, I'm right here. I'm just listening to the...
He broke his leg in the fall.
Yep. Did the bears set the...
Yeah, the bears set his leg. We were able to put a splint on it. Phil?
Yeah, I'm right here. I'm listening to the story, and I'm finding it incredible. So he got hung up in a tree. That reminds me of the story I heard from World War II, where pilots, some of our paratroopers before D-Day, were parachuting inland, and one guy got, or was that just a movie I saw? Some guy got hung up in a bell tower in trees.
No, a lot of the paratroopers in World War II got hung up in trees, and DB did too. But fortunately, he had a knife with him. He cut himself down and got down off the tree, but he was hurt.
And the bears took, a family of bears took him in and licked his wounds and set his broken leg.
They splinted it for him, yeah. So it was a difficult deal. It was a bears. The FBI would have caught him because FBI agents were on his trail, and they got up into that part of Washington, Wehrmacht, Washington, and came near the bear cave, but the bears directed the FBI someplace else. So they never did.
The bears came out of the cave and...
And they pointed, the FBI said, we saw a guy come down over there. So, and he still visits the bears from time to time just to say hello and to thank them.
Art Griego, my guest, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
But I do know DB well enough to know, in my opinion, that he's an experienced parachutist and knew what he was doing.
Knew what he was doing?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Here is Ontario on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi, Phil.
Yes, sir.
I do have a comment about this proposed story from Art and passed on through DB. I don't doubt that DB jumped out of a plane. We know that's a fact. Whether he lived or not could be in question. But at 20,000 feet, it's going to take him, if he's free falling, he's going to hit the ground in less than 3 minutes. You're about 3.5 miles above the earth.
And you're going to do at 20,000 feet what?
Well, at 20,000 feet, if you jump out of a plane, you're going to hit the ground in about 3 minutes at terminal velocity. So if he's
No. If you've got a parachute.
Okay, well, the comment made earlier was he was counting 1,000, 2,000. Even in a parachute, pulling a parachute, it's not going to take 20 minutes to get to the ground.
Are you? Do you skydive, sir?
Absolutely.
Okay,
I've
so you guys...
I've flown planes for 20 years. I've jumped out of planes. It doesn't take you 20 minutes.
Oh, D.B. Cooper said to me something about, well, then they must have been at a higher elevation. It's possible they were at a higher elevation.
That would be true.
Okay.
If you want to pump it up to 35,000 feet, but at 20,000 feet...
All right, it could have been 35,000.
All right. Well, let me ask this question. Why would a guy want the pilot to take... At that point, only DB and the pilot and the co-pilot, right?
It was DB and the flight crew, yeah.
Why would he have the pilot take it up so high? Why not just have him cruise it at what, sir, 5,000 feet?
Absolutely. The lower you go, the more oxygen you have.
Look,
you don't need pressurized.
I'm just telling you what the man told me.
Okay.
I don't think
obviously
he'd lie.
You're listening to a story with their gaps in the story, and I mean,
well, why would
they're very obvious.
Well, what are the obvious gaps? All right. So the fact that the guy might have had his elevation wrong, I don't think makes him a liar.
Okay. Well, you don't need a pressure suit at 20,000 feet.
You said he had a space suit or something.
A space helmet.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't need. You can go unpressurized to 25,000 feet. I did it for 7 years in jets. And
do you eject or parachute from 25,000 feet?
Oh, no, not regularly you don't.
At what speed must you be going?
DB did it at 500 miles an hour.
And your body would sustain flailing injuries at anything above about 300 miles an hour. Arms would literally rip off. His legs, his appendages would rip off at 500.
Well, let me just say this. You are welcome to come and meet Mr. Cooper yourself, and you tell me whether his arms are missing or his legs are missing. Because he looks pretty healthy to me.
Absolutely. And so I'm just pointing out obvious gaps in the story. You're not going to jump from a plane at 500 miles an hour.
So DB Cooper's
alive. You want to lower the altitude. You want to have the plane slowed down. I'll believe it.
Right,
but
so
don't come on and say that you can jump out at 500 miles an hour.
If he's the best parachuter in the world, though, he could take this, couldn't he?
Absolutely not.
Why not? If he's better than anybody you know.
Well, what is the guy going to be? Yeah, I mean,
physiologically, your body can't withstand that. I don't care if he's made out of titanium.
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. But let's just say DB Cooper was the greatest parachutist you'd ever met in your life.
He would still sustain flailing injuries at 500 miles an hour. Take any of the military jump teams, which are supposedly
and you're
the
not
best
jealous.
Jumpers in the world, and they would never
what's the name
jump
of the
out
Army,
of 500.
What's the name of the Army team? They're called
the Golden Knights.
The Golden Knights.
Well, all right, what if he was as good as one of them?
Put one of them on and ask them if they jump out of a plane at 500 miles an hour, and I guarantee you, to the man, they would not.
And you're not just jealous.
Why would I be?
If the guy is so good that he could jump out at 500 miles an hour, you wouldn't be jealous?
Absolutely not.
Oh, come on.
Well, what are you asking the man now, okay?
No, I'm just wondering.
Why would he be jealous? I would imagine he would admire somebody who could jump out of a plane at 500 miles an hour if they could do it. Anyway, thank you very much for your call, sir.
You're welcome.
1-800-449-8686. So D.B. Cooper jumped out of an airplane going 500 miles an hour at 20,000 feet.
And it took him 20 minutes to get to the ground.
After the chute opened, even though you just had a guy tell you.
I don't know if that guy. I'm telling. Phil, that's that guy. I know what D.B. told me.
And then he landed in a tree.
Landed in a very high redwood, yeah, in southern Washington.
Cut himself down from the tree, was injured in the landing, right?
Yes, he broke his leg.
Went down the tree with a busted leg. The bears that he met, three bears?
Three bears in a cave.
said as...
Phil, what I'm getting from you is, obviously, you don't believe what I'm saying. And
I didn't say I don't believe what you're saying. I'm trying to get this in some chronological order so I can understand what you're talking about. You're telling me that he met three bears, they set his broken leg, and then they got the FBI off of his trail.
That is correct.
And D.B. Cooper told you this.
You know, I don't have to stick around if you want me to hang up.
I don't want you to hang up. I've never heard such a story in my life. What do you mean?
There were three bears, and...
Can I make a guess?
What?
Was one of them the papa bear, and then the other was the mama bear?
They had a bear cub, yeah.
So there was a...
Okay, Phil, you know, I don't want...
No, don't hang up! Don't hang up!
I don't know where you're going with this.
No. D.B. Cooper cut himself down from a tree. He met a mama bear, a papa bear, and a baby bear, right?
Yes. Did I tell you all of this?
Yes, you did. Can I take another wild guess?
All right.
Did they have three bowls of porridge?
So I told you all of this already, right?
No, you haven't. I'm making a guess.
I must have told you the story. Otherwise, how would you know?
No, I'm just...
Well, how do you know there was three bowls of porridge?
I'm just taking a wild guess. There were three bowls of... Okay, you're freaking out of your mind, all right? Do you understand what I'm saying? You're out of your mind.
What are you calling? You get me on your radio show.
What do you mean he got saved by three bears with three bowls of porridge? Was one too hot?
One was too hot, yeah.
And the other was just right?
No, one was too cold.
And then the other was just right?
Yes. Why are you getting so angry, Phil?
Because you're telling me the tale of Goldie freaking Locks, not D.B. Cooper.
Why are you angry?
I'm angry because you're telling me a bear set his broken leg, three of them with bowls of porridge, and I bet you one of them said, "Who's been sleeping in my bed?"
One of them got angry because he crawled into the wrong bed.
Yeah, there we go. What do you take me for, an idiot?
Boy, I don't know what's going on at your house, man.
Don't bring my family into this, all right? My wife...
No, I don't know what's going on at your house, and I don't know what bug climbed up your ass, but you asked me to come on your show and...
Talk to me about airline safety, and you get into a thing about D.B. Cooper fell into a tree and a bear got the FBI off of his trail, but not before he ate the bowl of porridge that was just right and slept in a bed. And you're sitting there and you want me to believe me this.
He gave the FBI a picnic basket. All right?
Hey, I know. Was one of the bears named Boo Boo?
I must have told you this story.
So one of the bears was named Boo Boo. God damn it.
You are really tightly wrapped, man.
Yeah, I see. What it is it's my problem, isn't it? I'm out of my mind, right?
I'm just saying, you're very tightly... I don't know what bug climbed up your ass. I came on your show, and I apologize to your listeners for this, okay? I am simply saying to you that I talked to the man about airline safety.
And one of the bears was named Boo Boo, right?
Yeah, I think one of them was named Boo Boo.
Was the other one Yogi Bear?
Phil.
Was the other one named Yogi Bear, yes or no?
I talked to a guy named Mr. Ranger.
You talked to Mr. Ranger. See ya.
Jesus, what an asshole. You are one of...
Hey, you know what? What's cool about that story is I bet you met Smokey the Bear, too. I forgot to ask him. And maybe the Qantas Bear was there hanging around a eucalyptus tree. And he went inside, and one of the bowls of porridge was just right. Did I hang up? Art, are you there?
I really think that you need a doctor. I have never been treated this way in my life. And to say,
I just want to know one thing.
What? I just really think, Phil, that...
I just want to know one thing.
What?
What's the last thing the bear said to you?
He looked at me and said only I could prevent forest fires. And
thanks a lot.
Like I said, you're an...
Okay, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. And here is San Dimas. Hi, you're on The Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil, how are you?
Good.
I don't know whether anyone told you, but that guy you had on the air was some piece of work.
Well, he's got Goldilocks, and he's got the Three Bears, and he threw in Yogi Bear, and he threw in Boo Boo.
He threw in Boo Boo, and he had the Forest Ranger, too, but you know that those things don't exist, right?
So, yeah. Of course I do.
Well, you had the guy on for so long, I thought you were... I would have thrown a guy off the air.
I didn't know what he was saying.
You didn't know what he was saying when? When he started... The first thing he said was... that
I didn't know what he was saying. He said that he met D.B. Cooper.
No, that's fine. But then he went and he talked about meeting a bear. And the bear set his leg.
Right.
That's what I would have...
You're saying that's when you would have thrown him off the air?
Well, sure. Jesus Christ, and excuse my language, but bears don't set people's broken legs.
I understand that.
Well, then that would have been the tip-off. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. I mean, he said that...
No, he said that a bear set his broken leg. He also said that the bear kept the FBI from capturing him by giving him a picnic basket or I don't know, pointing in the wrong direction. To me, that's a tip-off that the guy's whack and that you should have put him off the air instead. You
know, no, wait a minute, sir. I do a talk show here, and I listen to what people have got to say, and...
Jesus, people are saying, but this guy was saying that a bear, you know, what would you have said if he said he married the goddamn thing and was...
All right, thank you very much for your call.
Well, wait a minute, why be a chick?
Okay, that's Art Griego. And that caller can think what he wants. And no, I'm not chicken. Okay, we made $112,581. $112,581 in our Best of the Phil Henry Show 1999 CD drive. Communism is neat. And you can pick up a copy of our CD at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com, and you can pick up a copy of that by simply logging on and clicking around and getting on over to the My Friend's Place link. And the next thing you know, you're the owner of our CD. $23.50, $3.50 shipping and handling, $20 goes to My Friend's Place. We got some stuff, and the people at My Friend's Place have some things planned for this year that are going to be monumental, and we're going to be involved in them. And hopefully, if all goes well... We've stepped into a kind of a new chapter of our relationship with My Friend's Place. I'll let you know when the stuff finally arrives. So there you go. Guy calls up, told me about a bear. Hey, what do you want from me? Oh, Lord, what do you want from me? I didn't hear him say that the bear got the FBI, and I didn't hear him say that the bear set his broken leg. That's all I'm saying.
You don't have to do it.
What? What do you want?
I mean, everybody out there is listening to you, and you didn't say nothing about.
About what?
About the bear setting a man broken leg. How stupid are you going to be? You sat there and told about a bear set a broken leg, not me. You know bears don't... Are you aware that bears do not perform major surgery, right?
Yes, I'm aware that a bear cannot perform major surgery.
And you're aware of the fact... Oh, well, that's it for me.
Where are you going?
I mean,
why?
Because of this crap.
Oh, the Bee Gees got him. Okay, good. Bee Gees got rid of you?
Yeah. Still an asshole, Phil.
That may be, pal. Still my show.
Still an asshole.
Still my show.
Still an asshole. And bears don't set broken legs, Phil.
Yeah, well, that's fine.
They don't.
Fine.
God, you're f***ing lame.
Asshole. Spicy Ass. Spicy Ass. Spicy Ass.
It's like a miracle.